From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. I'm glad you're tuning in today as the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister of Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church, is here to let the Bible speak.
Good morning and welcome each one to our gospel broadcast. Thank you for joining with me. In our two broadcasts so far, we have dealt with two important questions. Our first program centered upon the question, what is the gospel? That was followed by, what is sin? And now we come to the question, what is repentance? The importance of repentance may be gauged by the place that it had in the preaching of God's great servants. It was the central doctrine of John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, and the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Likewise, had this truth at the center of the message they proclaimed. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What Matthew is saying here is the first word out of the Saviour's mouth was the word repent. The apostles on the day of Pentecost, as I've already mentioned, also centered on this aspect of the gospel. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, the verse 38. The Saviour, when he sent forth his disciples into the world, and of course his words form the basis of the Great Commission to all who would preach the gospel, had this to say, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Again, repentance is found at the very center of the great plan of God for man's redemption. The Apostle Paul said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The context, therefore, in which we find repentance proclaimed shows us that it is a vital matter in true religion. No repentance, no salvation. That being so, then please, dear listener, let us carefully consider what the Bible has to say about repentance. We're going to let the Bible tell us about this truth. First of all, the meaning of repentance. The Hebrew and the Greek words that are translated in our English Bible by the word repent simply mean a change of mind and of direction. There is an inward and an outward change. There is an inward change of disposition manifested by an outward change of direction. That's what repentance is. True repentance brings an alteration in the lifestyle. It's a turning from sin, from the practices of a life of defiance of God to a life of obedience and a walking in the commandments of God. That's what repentance means. Now, what are the marks of true repentance? Where you find true repentance, you will always find the same marks accompanying it. John the Baptist, when he was preaching, he demanded evidence. How does he put it? He demanded that those who listened to him bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. I know an apple tree by its fruit. I know a pear tree by its fruit. I know true repentance by its fruit. First of all, there is the fruit of regret, of sorrow over sin. In Job chapter 42 and the verses 5 and 6, we read these words. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What he was, how he had acted, how he had spoken for a time, is now seen by Job in the light of God's presence, and his heart is filled with grief at how he had thus acted. He says, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And then also there is the element of rejection. That is, there is a rejecting of the path that had been followed previous to repentance. There's a turning on to God. Ezekiel chapter 14, the verse 6. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. So there is a turning. True repentance causes the back to be turned upon that which once was loved, and there is a departing from it. Paul said, when writing to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, ye turn to God from idols to follow and to obey the living God. And that's an evidence. That's a mark of true repentance. A rejecting of the old way. But there is also a returning. I mentioned turning to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse 3, Samuel said this, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. That's what a true coming back to God, a true returning from the path of unrighteousness entails. Like the prodigal who left the far country and came home to the Father's house. So, repentance is manifest in the life when there is a coming back again to God. A rejecting of a life of defiance and a life of sin and a life of rebellion and a seeking to live according to the will of our Heavenly Father and to His pleasing. Now, what are the consequences of repentance? I'll have to be quick. There's joy in heaven, that's the first thing. Luke 15, verse 7, the Saviour says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. If you are listening to this message, and God is pleased to apply it to your heart with power, and grants to you repentance, and you humbly kneel before the Saviour, and ask forgiveness for your sins, and trust in the redeeming blood of Christ, and you are truly converted, there will be joy in heaven. It'll not make tonight's news or tomorrow's newspaper headlines. There will be very, very few will take any notice of your conversion. But heaven will note it, and heaven will rejoice over it. That tells us how important the salvation of the soul is. That shows you God's priorities. The world mocks at evangelism. It mocks at soul winning. But God does not mock. But rather, there's rejoicing in heaven. Pardoning of the sinner takes place upon repentance. Peter says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance and the blotting out of sins go hand in hand together. They're companions. Praise God for this. Again, also, the Holy Ghost is given. That is, His grace, His blessings flood the soul that is repentant. I quote Peter again, this time Acts chapter 2, the verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The indwelling of the Spirit of God and the wondrous graces that He brings with Him. Graces purchased for us by the Saviour's death upon the cross. They flood the soul when repentance is wrought. These are some of the consequences of repentance. Let me say finally, how is repentance accomplished? Well, in order for you to understand how it is that you may repent of your sins, let me first of all point out that repentance is a gift. In other words, it's not something that you can manufacture, you can work up, you can engender. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. I quote from Acts chapter 5 and the verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I emphasize those words, to give repentance. The Lord Jesus is the one who imparts repentance. It's part of the great work of grace that he works in the heart, whereby a sinner is regenerated, made a new creature, saved by the grace of God. So repentance is not something that you purchase, that you manufacture. It's something that you ask for from God. Repentance comes about under the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, I quote from the Acts of the Apostles. The day of Pentecost, the apostles have all preached on that great day and preached in the power of the Spirit. And we read of those who listened. And in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, oh, please read these verses. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's a people brought to the place where they were ready for, willing for repentance. And that preparation of heart was wrought in them as the gospel is preached. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. May God touch your heart even now as the word of God goes forth. It marks a belief in God's word. In Jonah, the chapter 3, we read of the prophet going to the city of Nineveh and preaching. And as a result of his preaching, the great city, many tens of thousands of people, sinners, wicked before God, are nevertheless converted. They are granted repentance. How did it happen? Well, Jonah chapter 3 in the verse 5 says, So the people of Nineveh believed God. Where there is a believing of the gospel, there is a working of repentance. Where there is an accepting of what God says in the gospel about ourselves, about his mercy and his love, about the death of his son on the cross for sinners, about salvation, not by works which we have done, but salvation through faith in Christ alone. Where there is a believing of these truths, you find repentance. The heart is moved to repent. You see, as we believe the word of God, as it's preached to us, we see Christ, Saul of Tarsus, later to become Paul the Apostle, on the road to Damascus, saw the Savior. He saw the Savior. And as a result of seeing Christ, there was deep repentance wrought within his heart. He fell on his face before the Lord, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? There was a yielding of his life to Christ. And that's what repentance is all about. It comes about as a result of seeing Christ presented in the gospel. And the sight of him melts the heart. Today, may God melt your heart. May you see the Savior in the gospel. Join me next week for the last message in this little series. God bless you. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Ivan Foster, 17 Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, Trillick, BT78 3RN. Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Ivan Foster, 17 Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, Trillick, BT78 3RN. Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church welcomes you to the Lord's Day services, where you can hear the Reverend Stephen Pollock preach at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And the church is situated on the Old Junction Road, Kilskerry. For further information, you may phone us on 028-8956-1564. 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all of the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week when we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.